Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Pastor Ron is away this morning, our senior pastor. He's away in North Carolina for his mom's 70th birthday, stepmom's 70th birthday, excuse me. And so he's there celebrating beautiful woman's great day. And Pastor Bruce and Terry are away this morning. They are officiating the wedding of Abe and Christine. All right, all right. Come on now. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know your church is alive when people are getting married to one another. So it's pretty good. Hey, I'm just letting you know if you hold on long enough, something good might come your way. So, yes, he's away doing that. But this morning, I just want to get into continuing our sermon series, Casket Empty, Casket Empty. I don't know if we're going to have it up on the board here, on the screen, just an acronym. And the last couple weeks, we've talked about the kings, and now we're getting ready to transition into exile. As we were talking last week, Pastor Ron mentioned between kings and during this exile period, prophets were beginning to be raised up to help turn the nation of Israel back to God. See, the nation of Israel was in a dark place, a very dark place. And it started by allowing these foreign gods into the nation, and people began to worship these foreign gods. And it got so bad that people began to child sacrifice their children. People began to prostitute, not just outside the temple, but in the temple. And then it got to the point where they were just worshiping idols outright. They just began to abandon the one true God, Yahweh. And you know, God is a God of mercy, and God is a God of second and third chances. But after a while, God's got to lift his hand off the nation and lift the grace off the nation and allow them to be disciplined. See, discipline does not feel good, but God is a sovereign God and a merciful God, but he's also a just God. And what happens is the kingdom splits because of the evil leadership that is going on. So you got the northern kingdom that goes away, and they get captured by the Assyrians. The Assyrians are running the nation now. And then you got this bottom part in the southern kingdom, and you got Judah that is hanging on by the thread. But they begin to act up. They begin to get out of line with God, and something bad happens. Now God has said, I've had enough with you as well. And so he begins to release the Babylonians in to take over the nation. And as they're being taken away and pulled away from their nation, a word goes out from a prophet that says that you will not be gone that long, maybe a couple years, but not that long. But God is a God that knows the beginning, the end, and the in-between. And he began to realize that this word that went out wasn't true. It wasn't going to be a couple years. It was going to be more like 70 years. And then another word comes behind that by the prophet Jeremiah, and he says this in Jeremiah 29:4-11. I'm just referencing the scripture. And he commands the people, because you're no longer in the place of God. You're now in exile. You're in a place that's foreign. But while you're there, you need to build homes. You need to have children. You need to pray for the well-being of the city and become a part of the fabric of the community. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we had a young woman standing here by the name of Jenny Lee, and she said when she came to New York, the word of the Lord came to her, don't just date New York, but marry the city. And there's something about marrying the place where you are. It's about being all in, regardless of the circumstance or the situation. But the thing that I want to tell you this morning, if you hear anything from me this morning, if you leave from this place, is that God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. There comes a prophet that has begin to be raised up by the name of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, the thing about Ezekiel that was pretty unique was Ezekiel was sitting by water or irrigation. And he's sitting there, and it's the 30th year of his life, and he's reminiscing of some things where he should be, where he could be, but he's sitting in this foreign land. And the significance of him being 30 is because he was called to be a priest. And so, you ever been somewhere? Could you bring up this picture? I think I got this slide. It's a panda that's climbed up a tree. And you know, the panda probably started off at the bottom thinking, man, I'm just going to go up to this tree, maybe find some food and get down. But he went a little too far, and now he can't get down. He's stuck. And I'm pretty sure the panda might be thinking like you're thinking, how did I get here? How did I get here? I'm just sitting up here at the top of this tree. How did I get here? And that's the same thing that Ezekiel was probably thinking. Man, I should be back in Jerusalem. I should be a priest at the age of 30. I had my life planned out. I'm going to do great things. But now I'm sitting here on a creek bank by some nasty water in a nation that I don't know about, worshiping something I don't know about. And I'm mad and I'm bitter and I'm just sitting there, but God hasn't forgotten him. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden, he looks up, and there's a vision from God that's standing before him, and it's kind of spooky. I was like, man, should I read this? Pastor Nathan and I, we do what we call sermon prepping, and we're kind of bouncing off each other. We begin to read through Ezekiel chapter 1 through 4. You can go back and read that. But it's just talking about this vision that he sees, and it's these this beings with animal heads and wings and feet and two heads, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to read that. That's kind of spooky. I got to sleep at night. But then I begin to realize, wait a minute, it is Halloween, and y'all probably going to go watch Pennywise again, and you're going to go see the little Annabella doll, and you get scared and, you know, run around. So I'm like, you know, it's okay. We can talk about that today. Spooky. So he has this vision, but in this vision, God is speaking to him, showing him some things that are to come. The name for God is El-Ra'i, which means the Lord sees. See, the Lord saw Ezekiel sitting there down and out. But it's something about when God comes to visit you or I. It's amazing how God can remind you who you are when you forget who you used to be. He speaks to him. He comes right to him and he says this. He says, he begins to speak to Ezekiel, or Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And we're going to read this. He said to me, son of man, stand up on your feet and I'll speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He says, son of man, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. And they are their ancestors. They have been revolt against me to this very day. Verse 4, the people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns and all around you, you live among the scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them. Though they are rebellious people, you must speak the words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen. For they are rebellious, but you, verse 8, but you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, in verse 10, which he unrolled to me, before me. On both sides on it were written words, lament and mourning and woe. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans of man, but the purposes of God are going to prevail. Ezekiel had a plan. At the age of 30, I'm going to go into this temple. I'm going to begin to serve God just like those before me. But he found himself somewhere he shouldn't be. And the thing about God is God can find you and seek you out wherever you are. When God begins to speak to Ezekiel, he begins to remind Ezekiel who he is and where he came from. Ezekiel means God will strengthen. There's something about your name. There's something about my name. There's something about when God calls you by name, you will stand to your feet and you will begin to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. See, my mother's coming here in about 2 months. And when my mother calls me by my full name, all of a sudden I know she means business. My kids look at me like, Dad, you're a grown man. Why are you acting like that? I mean, That's mom. My mom's talking to me. It's like, I better listen. And God calls Ezekiel out. And he says to him, you need to stand to your feet. And you need to receive this word. And you need to go out and you need to speak. And what is it that he's speaking? The first point I want to make is this, is that you have to be at the right place at the right time. Ezekiel was right where he needed to be. He wasn't late. He wasn't early. He was right on time, sitting on that creek bank, and God showed up and met him where he needed to be. You know, sometimes we think, man, I don't know if God can see me. But just like Pastor Nathan was exhorting, he said that he is the Lord of the universe. And see, if God can handle the universe, surely he can handle your situation. It doesn't matter how you got to New York. Some of you around here are thinking, man, how did I get here? Anybody ever said that before? How did I get here? You're laying in an apartment, and it's like one side of the room, and you can touch the other side of the room. And then you're in this room, and then your kitchen is in that room where you sleep. And then you, all of a sudden, you begin to hear noises like, man, wait a minute, I'm hearing things I shouldn't be hearing, because next door, the person next to me so close, I probably can reach around the corner and touch them. How did I get here? But you know, God is a God that's on time. He knows where you need to be. He knows exactly what he's getting ready to do for you. No matter where you are, it's where God is getting ready to take you. I remember sitting in a hotel in northern New Jersey, and I'm laying there. And I'm laying in this hotel room, and I don't have a wife because she left. She walked away from me. She walked away from God, and it's just me. And I don't have my children. They're in another state, and I'm just lying there. And I'm asking myself, how did I get here? How did I get here? And I remember sitting there in the bed, and I remember a word that came to me years ago about how God was going to send me to a place in a unique way. And I remember just taking that word and saying, you know what, God, I believe that you sent me here. It doesn't matter how I got here, but I know that you brought me here. And if you brought me here, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay here, because your word is what's holding on to me and keeping me stay the course. Ezekiel gets the word. A lot of people are looking for a word from God. God, give me a word. Let me know what you're speaking. But you know, when you get a word from God, it never goes out the way or happens the way that you think it's going to happen. If you hear anything that I'm saying today, is that God has not forgotten you. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. See, Ezekiel loved God. And Ezekiel was called to God's purposes. And so when you love God and you're called to God's purposes, it doesn't matter how dark or how bad the situation looks. God is in the midst of all that, and he can take the bad situation and begin to turn it for good. He can turn it for good. And so the situation is getting ready to turn good, because now the prophet that thought he was going to be a priest, now he says, no, I didn't make you to be a priest. I made you to be a prophet. Sometimes you got to let God define you. You can't define yourself. You got to say, Lord, what are you calling me to be? What are you calling me to do? No, I came to New York to be this and to do that. You know, I was the same way several years ago. I thought I was called to play football. Man, this is all I'm going to do. I'm going to play this game. I'm going to retire. I'm going to sit on a beach somewhere, and I'm just going to watch my money make money. That's what I thought. And then all of a sudden, God began to put his finger on the heart. See, with the heart, one believes. With the heart, God can deal with you. And God began to deal with the heart. And as he's dealing with the heart, all of a sudden, I went from playing football to preaching the word. I thought I was called to do this, but God called me to do that. Bad to good. I'm laying in this hotel room, and I'm asking myself, how did I get here? But I chose to say, you know what, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to be all the way here. And so now that I'm here, I remember getting up and beginning to serve God where I was at. I took a hold of whatever God had me to take a hold of. And it's funny how God will prepare a place for you. When you think you're going somewhere that you don't want to be, God has already prepared that place for you. A couple weeks ago, we ordained a couple people in the church in New Jersey, a man and a woman. And I remember when we were planting this church, I would fly back and forth from Nashville to New York, and I would help plant. I'd go out and I'd find friends, people that I knew from several years ago, and I'd begin to reconnect with them. And I remember going and seeing this guy. And I remember this guy played football at Rutgers University, was a freshman. And I go up to him and I begin to minister the word. I bring him to a church service like this. He gets born again. I fly him back to Nashville. I baptize him at this conference, fly back up here with him, lay hands on him. He gets filled with the Spirit, and he goes back to his college, Rutgers, and begins to start a Bible study. This Bible study explodes. And as he's going through the years and playing football, he meets a young lady there at the school with him. They fall in love, and they get married. And along the way, Pastor Adam does their wedding. I'm still in contact with him. You know, when I led that man to the Lord, I never knew that he would be pillars in our church in New Jersey today. God was preparing a place, preparing a place. When I was going through my dark situation, the first person that picked me up from the airport was that kid that I baptized, that I laid hands on several years before, was right there to pick me up and say, "Pastor, I got you, because I remember what you did for me. Now it's my turn to do it for you." God remembers. If there's anything you hear me say today, God has not forgotten you. How did Ezekiel respond to the call, which is my second point? How do you respond when God calls you to do something that's difficult? The Lord told him, "Look, man, I'm raising you up. You're going to go speak the word, but they're not going to listen to you." How many of you would sign up for that? "I'm going to send you somewhere to talk to some people. And you're going to be able to say whatever it is you need to say, but they're not going to receive what you got to say. Matter of fact, they're going to give you the Heisman. They're going to stiff arm you." Respond to the call. But you know what I love about Ezekiel? See, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22, it said that Samuel said, "Is the Lord as delighted in burnt offerings or sacrifices as he would be with your obedience? To follow instructions is better than sacrifice." And I'm going to say this right here, and you need to hear this deep in your spirit. It's better to obey. It's better to obey than sacrifice. It's better to obey. So whatever God is calling you to give up, just do it. Whatever God is calling you to be, just do it. It's going to sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you certain things, but you know what? That's okay, because if I'm following God and I'm doing what he said, he'll take care of me and he's going to take care of you. He didn't just hear this word. So many times we hear God speaking to us. Anybody like to duck the word? I duck the word all the time. God spoke to me, "Shino, go to New York." I'm like, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable in New Jersey. Let me get this. I'm comfortable. I can drive my car to the store and get something to eat and come home. I'm comfortable. I don't need to be over here. Those people over there are mean. They're crazy. I'm good over here. I'm good." But you know what? God is like this. Either you're going to do it my way or you're going to do it your way. Anybody had that confrontation with the Lord before? When you know he's putting his finger on something, he's speaking so clear. Man, you're okay, God, if this is really you, then you know, make it rain in the morning, and then at the afternoon, stop it and let the clouds open up in the sun. So you're cutting deals with God. And you know what? God is so good. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. God will say, okay, you want me to show you that I mean business. I'll do it for you. And I remember, I'm like, oh my goodness, he's serious. He wants me to leave this and go over there. Are you kidding me? Oh no. But the Bible says in James 1:22, it says this: "But be doers of the word and not just hearers, deceiving yourself." Do you know you can talk yourself out of some stuff? I've heard it said like this: you know what? You can go find somebody to tell you what you don't want to do. You can find people to agree with you. But I need somebody that's going to tell me, no, if God's called you to do this, you need to stiffen up your back, puff out your chest, and go do what he's called you to do and be the man of God that he's created you to be. That's what we need in this nation right now, for people to stand on the word of God. So many times people run from the call. What is God calling you to do in your sphere of influence this morning? What is God calling you to do if you're in the political realm, the educational realm, the financial realm, the fashion realm? What is God calling you to do? Are you afraid of what people are going to say? Or are you afraid of what people are going to think? Because God's not worried about what people say or think. God's more concerned about you and what he's calling you to do and be. God is always going to call you up and out. He's never going to call you down. And what I love the most about Ezekiel's attitude was right. See, attitude produces altitude. See, if your attitude is off when God comes at you with something difficult, you're going to crash. But if you respond with the right spirit and you just say, yes, Lord, it'll be the greatest ride of your life. The greatest ride of your life. John Maxwell wrote a book called The Difference Maker. And through this book, he talks about difficult times in his life, and he highlights other difficult times in business and in politics and how people responded differently. And because of how they responded, gave certain results. The ones that had a positive attitude always ended up making positive gain. But those that had negative attitudes ended up going backwards or not experiencing something as good as it could have been. So be doers of the words and not hearers only. Number three is this: fear God and not man. Fear God and not man. See, Ezekiel's probably going down memory lane because I don't know if you remember a couple chapters before we began to learn about how Jezebel was killing all these prophets. And now all of a sudden, he the prophet. Yeah. So you know in his mind, he's thinking, wait a minute, if I stand up and I begin to say, thus saith the Lord to the people, there's a possibility they're not just going to not listen to me, but there's a possibility that they might kill me. You talk about pressure. Sometimes we get so afraid to do the things that God's called you to do because we're afraid of a man or afraid of a woman. So I'll back up a little bit because God is always going to make sure that pastor practice what you preach. So there was a time when I was flying back and forth up here to New York and helped start the church over in Jersey. And I remember I was in my Connect group. I was in a Connect group before I led a Connect group. And I'm in this Connect group, and Pastor Adam and I, we were meeting at this other church. It was a vineyard church, and we were just meeting there on a night service, but we had been believing God to meet in the morning. And I remember I'm flying back and forth, helping him start some things, and all of a sudden we're in this Connect group, and Adam goes, Pastor, I just want us to all pray for a building. We need a location. We need a new spot. All right, let's just pray. Let's pray. So we begin to pray, and all of a sudden the guy next to us says this. He goes, hey, you know what? I'm getting ready to go back to my class reunion, and I need to connect with an old friend. He's the former mayor of where our church is now in Parsippany. And he says, when I see him, I heard he was in real estate. So when I look him up, I'll ask him if he knows of anything and blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, all right, yeah, do your thing. Well, all of a sudden he calls Adam with the number. Now, what does Adam do like every man of God? You know, Sheena, you call him. And I'm thinking, time out, time out, time out, time out, time out. You got to get this. I'm in Nashville living my life trying to get up there. You live in, just go meet with him, man. That's all you got to, go talk to him. You call him. No, 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 you call him. So it's like a hot potato. You call him. No, no, you call him. No, no, you call him. So finally, I'm like, all right, I call him. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, just probably like Ezekiel, they're not going to receive me. This man's not going to receive me. I'm a southern man down south. I'm just getting ready for the F-bombs coming at me. I'm ready. So, I look at the phone. Lord Jesus, because you said to go, be with me on this call. If he cusses me out, I still love you. Amen. I pick up the phone and I begin to call this guy. And I don't know him. Now, listen, I call him. I say, Mr. Frank, I said, my name's Shino, and I'm bracing for it, and I'm a pastor. And I just wanted to know, you know, if you had any real estate, and, you know, we're looking for a building in Jersey, da-da-da-da-da. And he says, it's funny you called. He said, probably about a year and a half ago, I had open heart surgery. And I needed to get a new heart transplant. And I was lying on my deathbed. And he said, and I cut a deal with God. I said, Lord, if you let me live, I want to do something significant for you. And when I was on the phone, he listened to me after I gave him the details of what we needed. And this is what he said. I think this is that significant moment. And so he and I begin to talk. And then next thing I know that he and I and Adam begin to meet. And see, he works for the most wealthiest Jewish businessman in the county that I live in and where the church is. And we sit down with this rich Jewish man. And we begin to tell him what we're about, that we love God and that we want to reach the people of this community. And he looks at us. He goes, I own a building right down the road here. If you guys want it, you can have it at cost. Matter of fact, I'm going to help you get in. Don't worry about how they treat churches because we know how they do. This is my city. This is my town. And that's our God. So we'll help you get it done. And to this day, we got a church in New Jersey because I chose not to be afraid. What is God calling you not to be afraid? Don't fear man, fear God. Fear God. God is calling you and I to do something great. And the next thing is you can't let people dictate your life. God is calling people in this room this morning to be great. See, Ezekiel just saw himself as a priest that was just going to go in and do priestly duties, which was good for the people. But God wasn't just calling him to a people. God was calling him to the nation. God is calling you to do great things, and you should not shrink back when God calls you to do it. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Spirit of power, love, fear, fear, fear. Fear paralyzes a man or a woman. Fear keeps you from going forward. It keeps you bottled up. It keeps you away from, oh, but Pastor, you don't know. I mean, I'm here in New York, and these people are mean. You know, we got a connect group right now that meets in the Helmsley building. And I'm going to tell you, when we're in this place, it's not good. It's not all that. But you know what? We're there. And people are hurting and in pain and going through a dark time, and they know that we meet there every Tuesday at 5:30, and people are walking in off that trading floor to get ministered to get help. What if I was so afraid, no, I'm just going to stay in my place over here in Jersey and just kind of hang out and not do anything? If God has called you to something, if God is calling you to do something, please, I'm asking you this morning, don't be afraid. And just like I said earlier, God has not forgotten you, just like he hadn't forgotten Israel. And that's why he was raising up a prophet to do this work in the nation. My fourth point is this: God's promises never fail. God's promises never fail. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from earth, or from heaven, excuse me, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. When God's word goes forth over your life or over my life, it's not going to return void, but it'll accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. You can rest assured that we don't serve a deadbeat dad. That as Ezekiel begins to stand up and begins to say, thus saith the Lord to the nation, there's a God of the universe that's backing him as he's speaking. And as you and I stand up for what's true and what's right, and we began to say, thus saith the Lord, in our spheres of influence, whatever it may be, you have a God in heaven and earth that has your back. But the story doesn't stop there, because Ezekiel has a second vision. And this time this vision comes, and it's the temple that is moving further away and is going out towards Jerusalem. What is this signifying? What does this mean, that this vision, this thing's going away? What it's signifying is this, is that years later, there's going to be a prophet, a son of a priest, sitting near water. And he's not going to have a vision, but he's going to see something come to him, and he's going to say, there he is, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The vision was already set, and God was already getting ready to do something great. Yes, the vision may tarry, but it's coming. And see, we have a high priest by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that he too is in exile. He too was kicked out, but you know what? He walks among us. He lived among us. And we have a high priest that can empathize, sympathize with you and I. See, this priest by the name of Jesus, let me explain something to you. He's gone through exactly what you and I have gone through. So when you go to him and you bow your knee and you say, God, help me in my dark time. I don't know why I'm here. He can say, I understand. I get it. I was there too. I'm experiencing fear. I'm experiencing pain. I'm experiencing doubt. I'm experiencing all these things. God says, I've been there too. It was a time where I thought I was disconnected from my Heavenly Father. But once again, when he starts something, he always finishes it. Always. He always finishes it. And I'm here to tell you today, there's something that God has started in your life that he wants to finish. But the question is this, is will you stand up and be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be to finish the deal? See, when I came to New York, I knew what God was calling me to be and what God was calling me to do. And yes, there was doubt and there was unbelief and there was fear because of the obstacles, just like the song we were singing. I didn't have just a mountain in front of me. I had mountain ranges in front of me. But you know what I said? No, my God is big enough. My God is big enough. Our God is big enough. Our God is big enough. And it doesn't matter if you're young or old, because the Bible says that your latter will be greater than your past. So some of you got gray hair in here, and you're thinking, oh, my time is past. No. God hadn't finished some things in your life. Let him take over. Let him finish what he started. Let him finish. The prophet Ezekiel. What I love about God is that he didn't forget his son. He didn't forget his child sitting there on that creek bank, minding his own business on his 30th birthday, wondering, how in the world did I get here? No, he reached down from heaven above and gave him a sign and said, you know what, son? I didn't just call you to do that, what you want to do, but I called you to do something so much greater, so much greater. And so this morning, I just want to pray a prayer of faith, and then we're going to take communion. But my prayer is this. Is that whatever God is speaking to you, whatever God is calling you to do or be, all I ask this morning is that you say, yes, Lord. This city needs you. Your community needs you. Your family needs you. Now, you can say, Pastor, you know what, man, I've heard that before, and, you know, that's just hype. But you know what? What if Ezekiel would have been like, you know what? I'm in a foreign land. The people are rebelling. God, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. He wouldn't be in the story today. God wants to write a story and put you in the book of your life. There are people depending on you. I'm going to close with this. You know, I wrestle with the call of God. I had people coming to me left and right, man, I see a call. And I fought it. I don't know. I play a sport. You know what was funny? It wasn't a bad word that he gave me, but he said this. He said, Shino, I'm not going to argue or wrestle with you. But he said, I want you to think about this. If you don't do what God has called you to do, what God's called you to be, think about all the people that you're letting down. Because of the anointing and the blessing that's on your life. All of you in here have an anointing, you have a blessing, and you have a call. It may not be a fivefold ministry office call, but you're called by God to do something. And so my prayer is this, that you would quiet your soul, quiet yourself, and hear what God is speaking, and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. just like Ezekiel. Yes, Lord. They may not listen. They may not receive. But because you called me to do it, yes, Lord, I'll obey. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you this morning for your goodness. I thank you for all the good that you've done and all the good that you continue to do. Jesus, I thank you that there are many people in this room that you're putting your finger on this morning to do some big obstacles, some big things. But God, I thank you that you're a big God and that you would never call us to do something without backing that call. And so, Father, I ask today that you would give each man and each woman in this room the courage and the strength to do what it is you're calling them to do and to be what you're calling them to be. I pray this morning that a yes, Lord, would come out of their mouth. Yes to your will, yes to your ways, yes to your purposes. No more making excuses or being afraid. For God, you didn't give us that fear, but you've given us faith. And I pray this morning that faith would begin to arise in the hearts of the minds of people, that they would begin to believe you, they begin to receive the word, that they'd begin to trust you. Now, God, I pray, strengthen your people in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.